Hello again and welcome back to the Bikepacking Podcast. My name is Mike Crane and I'm your host. In this episode I want to talk about doing the Highland 550 trail. It's a classic trail, a famous trail. It's raced over every May. Towards the end of May, the fit amongst us set off from Tindrum and try and race around in as short a time as possible. The winners will do the trail in an incredible 4 days. It's a pretty inhuman effort, is that. Most of the pack will take longer than that. There'll be a group of people coming in 5 or 6 days, but there'll also be a group coming in 7, 8, 9 days. It's a 550-mile tour, so these are not kilometres. It's worth remembering that. Doing 50 miles a day in this sort of terrain is really flipping hard work. There's a lot of hills. There's a lot of pushing up those hills. There's quite a lot of rough tracks. But also the weather's challenging. So if you think you know 50 miles a day in this terrain, good luck to you. But just be prepared to be disappointed. I would definitely say 2 weeks is a sensible time for most people. That's what I took, 2 weeks, 14 days. And any quicker than that, it's hard. It's hard. There's no two ways about it. It's in the Scottish Highlands. I mean, it's not all hard, to be fair. The racers set off from Tindrum and they just crack it out. The first couple of hundred miles, they just go for it because the first couple of hundred miles is relatively easy riding. And what they're trying to do is get to a place called Fort Augustus in Awana. If you are interested in that race, then there's a website dedicated to that race. And that website's the best place to get the GPX file from as well. It's run by a chap called Alan Greensmith, who organises the race. And he'll send you the GPX file if you make a donation to the John Muir Trust. John Muir Trust is a good thing to donate to. It's an environmentally sensible organisation that are looking after Ben Nevis, for example, looking after wildland all over Scotland, very keen on nature and rewilding. So make a little contribution to the John Muir Trust and Alan Greensmith will send you the GPX file, which you can find on the Highland 550 website. I'm not going to talk about a race. I don't know anything about a race. For me, this was just a great route around the Scottish Highlands that I wanted to enjoy. I guess one of the slightly odd things about the way I did it is I actually started in Glasgow. I remember some wag on Facebook after I'd done it saying, like the Highland 550 needs any extra miles. Well, if you're doing it on holiday, it's not a bad thing. I was keen to do something called the Anturus Moor, which the 550 follows most of the way on its way north from Loch Lyon, where the Anturus Moor joins it. It's similar to the Great North Trail that Cycling UK have put together. So it was easy to get a train to Glasgow. Unfortunately, the trains to Tindrum were not running due to engineering work, so I sort of had to start in Glasgow, really. But as I said, that was good. And it was surprising starting in Glasgow. You head north out of Glasgow on a really green way. It's the Kelvinside Valley. And really quickly, you're on traffic-free cycle trails and you're heading out of Glasgow north. And you can make quite a bit of mileage. It's great. There's nothing wrong with it at all. You follow the Highland, the Highland Way for a bit. I remember getting to a place called Drummond, which looks like Dry Men on the map, Drummond, and having some dinner in the pub there and thinking this is great. Because I'd arrived at Glasgow in the middle of the afternoon, it was getting late now. I did manage to camp between Drummond and Aberfoyle on the hill there, just next to the track. Because you can camp anywhere in Scotland, which are one of the beauties of it. But you could have stayed in Drummond, you could stay in Aberfoyle, you could stay in most of these places. There's quite a lot of accommodation. From Aberfoyle, the Antrosmo takes you north, or Great North Trail takes you quite quickly north. There's a rail bed, rail track trail just north of Callander. Takes you to a place called Loch Earnhead, and then a place called Killin. And you just don't touch the road at all. It's great, absolutely great. It's a minor road up Loch Glenlochy, and then you bob over to the Dam of Glenlyon, which is where you meet the 550, which is started in Tindrum. And so you haven't missed much. You're very near the beginning if you did want to do like I did and start it in Glasgow. Obviously, you don't have to do that. Start in Tindrum and you pop through the valley next to Loch Lyon, and I'll see you there. It's a quiet road down Glen Lyon to a place called Bridge of Balgy, where there is a cafe. Doesn't open till 10 o'clock and it's cash only. So it was raining and I was determined to not be in a rush and be on holiday. So I did stop at the cafe in Glen Lyon and have some breakfast. So that was lovely. One of the surprising things about the Highland 550 is how well serviced it is. You might be under the impression from the racers who race between certain shops that there isn't anything else on the route. Well, there is. You could actually do this route staying in accommodation every night. That would be a combination of hotels, hostels, guest house, bed and breakfasts, possibly a boffy or two, to be fair. But you can easily map it out and stay in accommodation all the way. It's just one of the quirks of Scotland that all the glens have got a hunting, shooting, fishing hotel in them. Some of them are faded glory, and some of them are quite switched on and are wanting to attract bike packers. So they've got great places to keep your bike. They've got hose pipes to wash your bike. They ask about bike packing and they say, what do we need to attract more bike packers? So there are services on this route, and I tell you what, you know, because of the weather up there, I had quite a lot of wet weather, and when you're up there for 2 weeks, you'd be very lucky not to get quite a bit of wet weather. It's so nice to be able to just pull up somewhere and stay there. The first night I actually intended to stay anywhere was by the time I got to Fort Augustus, so I'll just rewind. I've joined the Highland 550 at Glen Lyon, and I've descended that valley to the cafe at the Bridge of Balgy. From the Bridge of Balgy, you head north on dirt tracks to Loch Rannoch. It's great riding. It's double track, uphill, not a bad hill. There was a lock gate, actually, trying to get out of Loch Glen Lyon, which is a bit annoying, but you can just squeeze round the side of it if you just got a bike. If you're riding a horse, it might be a bit more difficult, but there we go. Life isn't always perfect. From there, as I say, we drop down a bit of cross-country stuff to the end of Loch Rannoch. It's good forest tracks over to the end of Loch Eric. Pretty fast ride in this sort of stuff. And I'd already decided I was really keen to stay in the Boffy at Ben Alder Cottage. And I remember chilling out a little bit at the end of Loch Eric. There's one of these hunting, shooting, fishing cabins there. It's a corrugated iron green thing. It's pretty ugly, to be honest. But you can sit on the veranda there and watch the rain coming down over the loch, thinking that you've got a nice, easy run down the loch side on a good track. Well, it lures you on, and then unfortunately it stops. And the last, I'm not sure how far it is, it's probably a kilometre to the Boffy that's off track, on bog, on mud, and you just got to push your bike through that last bit. Even the bridge over the burn there is quite hard work. Older burn, it's one you got to climb up onto, and it's quite narrow. You get across and you get to Ben Alder Boffy, which is a fab Boffy, as all Boffys are, to be honest, you know. I met a couple of other guys there doing the Badger Divide, which is a trail from Inverness to Glasgow. They were on gravel bikes, so they were doing pretty well, because this is probably good mountain bike country. The track going around to the west of Ben Alder is really good on a mountain bike. It's a steady climb. You can cycle pretty much all the way up. I don't remember pushing. I remember cycling. And then you come to a col, Bilach Du, it's called, just north west of Ben Older. And from there, you've got a really long downhill to another bothy, actually, Culra Lodge. It's, what, 3-6K, something like that, downhill. If not, a little bit more, actually. And it's single track. It's gravel, it's gravel single track, estate track. It's blooming fantastic. So for me, that was one of the highlights of the trail, actually. The Culra Lodge is currently closed. There's asbestos in the roof, so don't rely on being able to stop there. You go on decent tracks to Loch Patak. There's a track north from Loch Patak, which you feel should be better than it is, actually. It's pretty flipping rough going. Quite boggy, quite wet. And one or two places have been diverted. There's a new dam being put on. So don't expect to make massively quick time on that section. Initially, anyway, you do end up running down to the Laggan. You run down to Loch Laggan, and then you can carry on. I detoured a little bit. There's a place called the Wolf Tracks, which is a mountain bike centre. And I thought that might be quite a nice place to pop into the cafe. Unfortunately, they were closed when I went there due to staff shortages, which is a bit of an issue around these days. So check if you're going to go off route to the cafe. Otherwise, crack on and you get into a long valley that heads up towards the Carriarrick Pass. I can't remember the name of the valley. It's actually the upper valley of the River Spey. So you're heading up the headwaters of the Spey. There's another bothy up here called Melgarve, which I chose to stay at. It was only mid-afternoon, but I thought rather than go over Corriarrick late in the day and then not be sure if I could get down to Fort Augustus, I thought I'd stay at Melgarve. As it happened, I could have got to Fort Augustus that day fairly easy. And this valley here, it says Drimmin on the map, Upper Spey. It's quite ugly, actually. It's got pylons running down it, plantation conifers interspersed, pretty heavily grazed ground. So it's not a terribly pretty valley. There's a wee bridge just outside the Melgarve Bothy, which is good, from one of the military roads, you know, General Road, General Wade's military road sort of thing. Anyway, you can cycle right up to the base of the zigzags up the Corriarrick Pass, and its reputation it's overkill, really. Honestly, it was like 15-20 minute push to get up there, and I've got mates who could cycle up that. It's not really not that bad. It's pretty well graded, pretty well surfaced, so don't worry too much about that one. I'm quite happy to push. It's just not a problem for me at all. And in fact, when you get to the top of it, it's a long, long, good, fast track down to Fort Augustus. You pass another bothy, but you'll just want to crack on. And I wish that I had cracked on the day before, because when I set off in the morning from Melgarve Bothy, I was in Fort Augustus before lunchtime, before midday. I can't remember what time it was. But I was scrapping around for things to do because I'd booked the hostel there. Morag's Hostel is a really good place to stay. It's a nice hostel. It's comfortable. It's reasonable. They've got a drying room. They've got a bike store. They've got friendly staff. And I was really looking forward to having a night there. They did washing as well for me. So that's really recommend Morag's Hostel in Fort Augustus to break up the journey. Plenty of shops in Fort Augustus. You can buy the supplies you need there. But again, don't overdo it because you will be passing other shops pretty shortly. Nice place, Fort Augustus. You go down the Loch Ness next. You're not on the shore because the main road's on the shore and you really wouldn't want to be on the main road. You're on forest tracks above that. So it's quite undulating. But at Invermorriston, you drop down to the road for a little while. and there's a great little cafe there. I remember having morning coffee in Invermorriston, and that was super. So again, you know, not that remote from services. From here, though, there's a bit which is quite interesting. It doesn't mirror the Great North Trail, the Anturus Moor here. It heads across to a place called Loch Mastach. There are wind farm roads, so they do help you get up the hill relatively reasonably well. And you're up at Loch Mastach, having done some quite nice riding through a valley and through some woodland. Loch Mastach is quite bleak. It's bleak, barren moorland, really. But it's good for birds. I saw ringed plover on the shore there, common sandpiper. I sat and had a little break at the end, and a wheatit landed next to me. So it was fantastic from that point of view. But even better, an otter ran across in front. So whilst it is a bit bleak and pretty ugly, to be honest, it's not a bad spot for a bit of wildlife. There's a bizarre ruin at the end of Loch Mastach, a three-story ruin with rusty scaffolding, some old shooting lodge, it would appear. Good track continues north from there, past another bothy. There's a bit of slick rock on that trail as well. There was an abandoned 4x4 the day I was there, stuck in the mud. Corrimony has a chambered cairn, which is worth a stop and look, an old burial site. And then you're into Canich, which is a place I'd chosen to camp because there's a nice campsite there. And I can definitely recommend the campsite. It's good showers, good drying facilities, friendly people, great cafe. It was fish and chip night when I got there. Friday's fish and chip night, so I had fish and chips. It was a bit slow getting away in the morning. I'd have rather got away a little bit quicker. So just be mindful of that. If you want a breakfast in the cafe, it was a pretty slow getaway and I wanted to be away quicker than I was. But it's easy riding up Strathglass towards a place called Strui. I don't really know how to pronounce that one. And then we're off onto the Track of 1,000 Puddles. This is quite a famous track in the Highland 550 mythology. It's over the moors. It's called the Echles Forest. And it heads to the Oran Reservoir. It's just got lots of puddles on it. It's a double track, it's relatively easy cycling, but it always seems to have puddles on. It's known as a Track of 1,000 Puddles. Around the dam is quite spooky. It's one of these big concrete dams for hydro. I know they're a necessary evil, but they are quite ugly at times. This one had some ravens sat on the top, and the ravens are and it was echoing around the dam as I stopped there. Did see a cuckoo though, and there's a little bit of scrub just below the dam where there were stone chats playing around. So again, there was some nature. Give nature a chance and it'll be there, but so often we remove all kind of habitat. Pretty nondescript riding now down the valley, heading for a place called let me remember it now. Oh, it's Contin, of course. We get down to Contin where there's another shop. And there's a death section before Contin. You join a very busy, very fast dual carriage main road, the A835. Oh, goodness me, what I would give for a cycle lane there. It's only like 2-3K, but it's horrible. You've just got to grit your teeth and get on it and get off that road as soon as you can, really. Conley's got a shop, it's a famous shop. When you drive into Ullapool, it bills itself as the last shop before Ullapool. Not sure if it is, but I wasn't going to cycle past it, and I suspect you won't. Stock up there. It's the last shop you'll pass, but there are hotels and things between here and the next shop, which is on the road to Loch Inver. We'll come to that. Nice riding through the woods past Contin. I found a sneaky little place to camp in the woods there, which put me in a great place to head north up the, find the name, Loch Veik, heading north through Loch Veik. Quite wild, quite remote, but good tracks, you know, not hard riding at all. And I quite enjoyed this place. I met Claire Aldrit, who's a what we'd call a horse packer. She calls it domineering. And she was walking through that glen with two horses, which really made me think. It's quite frustrating trying to get round a locked gate through a kissing gate in a deer fence when you're on a bike, a loaded bikepacking bike. But if you've got two horses, that's impossible. So she has to check every route before she can ride her horses along it. So spare a thought for those people. But it was nice to have a little chat with Claire. I'm then heading into the Allerdale Estate, and I was really looking forward to this. The Allerdale Estate is quite famous for a bit of rewilding, and they've really managed their deer numbers. In fact, they've stopped deer stalking now, and they cull the deer. It's more economically efficient to simply get out one day of the year and just cull the deer to keep the numbers down. And you will notice the difference as you enter this estate, because there are trees, there is scrub, and therefore there is birds, and there is bird song. And they're just trying to let the old Caledonian rainforest do its thing. Really smart spot to be in. No services in Craigs. There is a phone box. Don't know if the phone works or not. And then you head up a contrasting glen, Strathcullinac, which is much more traditional in that where you've got wild bits of land, they've got a fence around them, and the rest of the glen is loads of deer. You can see the deer herds down the bottom of the valley. Why you'd need to stalk them, I don't know. You could wander down there and just lasso them. There seem to be so many. And plantation forestry. So that's quite a contrast to the Allerdale Estate, is this glen. It's more traditional and is pretty ugly. Still, it's good for riding your bike to Oichel Bridge. The hotel at Oichel Bridge is famous. They were struggling from staff shortages when I was there. It seemed to be run by one person. And I just carried on to a place called Rose Hall, where there's another little hotel called the Ashness Hotel. And they couldn't be more friendly, actually. It was quite reasonable. Fantastic stables for the bike. Hose pipe to rinse it down. Reasonable bar meals. Oh, and a really good breakfast. So I did spend a night there. And you should think about that, because it does get wearing camping, especially when it's wet. So do have access to a few quid so that you can have the odd night undercover. Camping's great, don't get me wrong. But it's nice to stay in a hotel now and then. Glencastley, pretty bleak again. You know, it's not pretty. It's a long glen, it's a good road, it's pretty featureless, and it just goes on a bit, but it's fast riding. You whiz up the top and drop down to Loch Shin. Spectacular, wild, feels remote. Alongside the wee loch and just north of Loch Shin, you get 4G signal. So I remember sitting down, you're on a road here, it's not a busy road, it's okay. And you can sit down and catch up with the world with a 4G signal, which seems mad. And then we do enter what is probably the remotest bit. I really enjoyed the section round to the lodge at the bottom of Glen Golly. And Glen Golly is a pretty glen. You have to sort of go up high above a gorge before you can get into it. And then you drop down past the gorge into the glen. It's a bit like a hidden valley. If you've been the hidden valley in Glencoe, it's that sort of thing. For me, the weather wasn't great, and there's a big push up to Lochan Skearich. And, you know, it was a time of day where I was thinking about camping, but I had checked the weather on my 4G signal, and I knew it was going to stop raining that evening about 7 o'clock. And I did have this big push to make, and the wind was behind me. So I thought, well, while it's raining and windy, I'll just keep pushing. It's that decision-making stuff that you sometimes have to do. Should I stop or should I go on? And I used the wind behind me, avoided putting my tent up in the rain, and just carried on pushing up the hill. Long old push, but that's the way it is. Nothing to, you can't complain about that. You drop down then into something called, near a loch called Anduloch. There's quite a few of those up there. It means black loch. If you're expecting a nice little downhill, then you'll be disappointed. You actually have to drop down into peat hags and then climb up out peat hags. So it's a pretty mucky, wet place. It's hard work. But when you get to Andulloch, I had a fantastic wild camp, and you blow a hill called Neil Horn, which is only 777 metres above sea level. So it's not a Munro. I don't know if it's a Corbett or something like that. But what it means is it's a really quiet place. There's just nobody else there. And it's fantastic mountain scenery. A wonderful coombe to spend the night in. And sure enough, it did stop raining and the sun did come out. And I did manage to dry my gear a little bit. It's a push up in the morning to Beilachhorn, and you actually touch the northernmost point of the Highland 550 here. So you start to turn south, which is quite exciting. Beilachhorn is a brilliant place to stand. You've got views across the Fionnevern and really good views of Arkell, a white-topped quartzite mountain that you just want to go and walk over to be honest. I thought this was a fantastic place. Did help that it had good weather, and it did help that you then get a tremendous downhill down to Lochstack. Really proper mountain biking. You want your suspension, you drop your saddle, you shift your weight back, and you just crack on down the Althorn to Lochstack. It's fantastic. There's a wee bothy at a place called Lone, but it's belongs to a school. I met a school from London there, and they said it was actually their bothy. And these kids from London were walking along the track from Lochstack with the aim of climbing Ben Stack. And you just see the amazement on the faces of the place they were in. And then you come along on your bike out in the middle of nowhere. And I just thought the teachers were doing a fantastic job and the kids were really appreciating it. Enjoyable that. There's nothing at Ach Ferry. You've got to climb up the hill, and again, you get another good downhill, though. It's all right down to Kyleskew Bridge. That's a great downhill and really good cycling in really spectacular country. You end up on the edge of Loch Glendu, and you can look down Loch Glencool. There are bothies at the end of those locks, but they're a little bit off route. You could detour to the Glendu bothy, and if you had time, I'd recommend it, because I've sea kayaked that bothy, and it's a fantastic bothy. It's really good. I did pop in the Kyleskew Hotel looking for a bit of lunch, but they, again, were suffering from staff shortages and weren't serving walk-ins. So if you're planning on stopping at Kyleskew Hotel, do make sure that they're going to be open. They're going to be able to serve you. There's a grim little bit of road there, the 894, and because it's slow, it's uphill as well. There is another cafe that I stopped at. I want to call it the Geologist Cafe. It's sort of a geology shop. And there's lots of information about the geology of the area, and they serve some food there. So, you know, if you are running out of food, you'll get some somewhere in Kyleskew. That's where you follow that single track road around to Drumbeg. It is quite hard work. It's a bit of a roller coaster. You're up and down into valleys, and you are conscious of cars behind you. For me, it was sort of evening time, but I just kept going, and you know, it's okay. It's not slow. Do stop at Drumbeg stores. They're really welcoming, really friendly, really interested in what you're doing. They're big supporters of the Highland 550 race. They stay open late to serve the racers. You probably won't be in such desperate need as the racers are by the time you get here if you're doing it in the style I did it. But it would be rude not to stop at the Drumbeg stores. It's a bit of a homage place. Past Clashnessie Beach, the beaches up here are something else. You don't really go to many on this route, but you will see some fabulous places there. You pop down past the Achmelvik Bay, which has got great beaches. There's a campsite there and a youth hostel there, actually, if you're interested in that. And a lovely little bit of sort of single track, like we'd call a bridleway in England or Wales, through from Achmelvik to Loch Inver itself. Loch Inver, again, you've got hotels, you've got shops, you've got the famous pie shop there. I stopped and had a lovely meal in a place there before pushing on to the Suleg Bothy. And it's quite an easy ride out to Suleg Bothy. you've got the view of Sulven, which is the most spectacular mountain. These parts, and it is quite a spectacular area for mountains. Canispis to the left of the track, Sulven to the right, Stackpoly to the south. I love this area, I think it's fantastic. So I was on a bit of a high then, looking forward to riding it southeast now from Sulegbothy on what on the map looks like a good track, but I had heard rumours that it's not a good track. And it's actually a worse track than I imagined. It's quite boggy past Loch na Gaoithiv, and then it's stony, so it's not steep, but it's got like these pointed boulders all over it, and you just can't ride it at all. You just end up pushing your bike along level ground for miles and miles. It took me hours. It's about 3 hours, I think, from the Boffy to the main road, the A385 at Ledmore. Even where it started going down a bit, it was quite hard work because of the nature of the track there. So allow plenty of time for that bit. The views are good, the scenery is good, it's a great place, but it's not a bit of riding I'll be rushing back to do, I can assure you. And even the road back down to the Oichel Bridge, which completes the top loop, is a bit ugly because it's got these flipping plantation forests and all that by it again. But you end up back at Oichel Bridge, and I did have a night in the Oichel Bridge Hotel there where I met some other bike packers who were heading the same way as me. So it was nice to have a little chat with them. And off we went the next day. I popped in the Schoolhouse Bothy, which is a pretty unique feature. I did go the wrong way, and then I came back and went the right way. I went past Knockdamph Bothy, where I had a little look there. And then you drop into Glen Achall, which is a glen that runs down to Ullapool. It's a beautiful glen. Few native trees, well looked after, lived in. There were some local people who had ridden up the glen, one on one of these Brompton bikes, you know, and the lads who had seen the night before in the hotel, they came down as well. They gone a slightly different way to me, and we all met up there and had a good old chat. So that was nice. Ullapool's got everything you'd ever need. It's got supermarkets, shops, hotels, you name it. You could easily spend your time in Ullapool. I got there about the middle of the day, so I did meet a friend from North Wales, which was nice. So we had a good little chat and a catch up. That seemed a bit odd, and stocked up on a few goodies. It's one of the worst bits of the trail now. You've got to ride down the side of Loch Broom on the A835. I mean, most of the motorists were very considerate and they weren't aggressive, but it's not a pleasant bit of the journey, unfortunately. It's one of the problems in Scotland. You have to have these main roads that link across between the good off-road bits. It's a shame you can't get a ferry across to the other side of the loch and ride down the quiet road on the other side. There's then a tough section. It's called the Coffin Road. It leads across to the Dundonald House. And I opted to miss it out because I'd heard poor things about it, in that it's not just a push up, but it's a push down. And when you look on the map, there are some tracks heading south to a place called Gleanmoor and the Falls of Messac. And there's a bridge marked on the map. Unfortunately, the bridge wasn't a bridge. I got in a bit of a pickle there. I'm to sort of fight my way across a decrepit bridge. So probably the less said about that, the better, really. And then you jump on a quiet road and nip round the corner to the Dundonald Forest. I did see a golden eagle on this bit, which I enjoyed. When I joined the base of the Coffin Track, having come round on this roadway, I met him with those three guys again. So that was quite nice. We said hello again. And then we were off towards Cheneval Bothy. I stopped part of the way because it was getting late. They pushed on Cheneval Bothy, but I stopped and had a night just in the woods, quite not far off the road, to be honest, so that I could enjoy the descent in the morning. And it's a fine descent. It's a slightly rough track to Cheneval, but Cheneval's a fantastic place to be. Great views of the mountains, really remote, fantastic Bothy, just wonderful. Did meet three lads there, they hadn't quite set off yet, and I was able to see which way they waded across the strath there, because you've got to do a river crossing here, and the only way through it is to paddle. So I left them to it, watched them, and then followed them in due course. My goodness, it was cold. My goodness, that water was cold. You can cycle a bit, and then, my goodness, you've got a proper push up to up the Glynmusbeg. Sorry if I'm butchering the pronunciation. Loch Ben Jerag is just off route, and it's another hour or so plodding uphill. Quite a bit of that. Be prepared for it. Make sure you've got comfy shoes. You shouldn't have to carry your bike. I think you managed to push it all the way there. It was quite steep at the top. Wonderful, wonderful, wild, remote place. And then we dropped down to Carnmore. That's a good downhill most of the way. Some of it was a little bit too steep for me. I had to walk down a couple of bits of it, but that's enjoyable. And across the causeway, and then a really fast track across to Pooleu. And I'm going to leave you there, because that's long enough for this episode. We'll have a part two, which I shall record probably tomorrow. So I hope you're enjoying the story of the Highland 550 Trail. I hope you're inspired to do the 550 Trail. I'm at Pooleu, and I'll join you again in another episode. See you now.